question, and that's why you're seeing Israeli athletes participating under their flag and with their national anthem here in Paris.
Finally, Jules, you have been writing about AI and the use of it at the Olympics. We just have 30 seconds, but if you can explain.
Sure. So in March 2023, the French National Assembly passed a law legalizing AI-powered video surveillance to police the Olympic Games. The law is supposed to sunset in March 2025 after the Olympics. But hey, it doesn't take the imagination of an avant-garde poet to come up with scenarios by which the French government insists upon keeping that law in place. And this is in keeping with what we've seen with previous Olympics, where they use the Olympics as a pretext to get all the special weapons and laws that they'd never be able to get during normal political times. And all too often, those special weapons and laws stay on the book and become part of normalized policing in the wake of the games. And I must say, Amy, normalized policing in too many places is also racialized policing. So you could argue that AI is actually increasing the racialized policing in a society.
We want to thank you both so much for being with us. Jules Boykoff, 5 books on the Olympics, a former Olympic soccer player. We'll link to your pieces in The Nation. Paul Allozy, a Paris-based activist with Doctors of the World and Other Side of the Medal. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
This is Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Engineering Committee meets on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio, KBOO 90.7.
Good morning, Portland. This is Sherry, and The Gap will be starting any minute. So until then, enjoy some awesome tunes. It's KBOO 90.7 FM right here in Portland.
Thank you. Good morning. You are listening to The Gap, KBOO's most listened to radio talk show on Friday at 8 a.m. when we are on, and that is scientifically true, so no one can take that away from us. My name is Tammy, and with me is the one and only Althea Billings.
Hello.
How are
you? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What color are you on? I got you.
I'm on yellow. I just want to make sure, because it's been a frazzled morning, folks. I was stuck behind two trains trying to get here.
Can you hear yourself?
Yeah, right? I can. I was, you know, waiting. And the thing about being in the front of the line when the train comes.
You could see it all.
And you're like, if I had left 30 seconds sooner, this wouldn't have happened to me. And so I was talking to Tammy, talking to Sherry, our engineer. Oh, I'm going to be like, you know, play a little music. I'll be there soon. And then as like the other train is ending, another train comes. And
I love that they do this. You know, it's fantastic that they have it on the schedule for around like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, because it's silly. It's not, you know, it would be silly if they did it at like 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Like that. Come on now. 9 o'clock p.m. Everyone is on the road that time. Yeah, just have them go, you know, cut off this traffic to one side of town to the other for a solid.
Oh, and I know it was backed up onto the highway. I know it. A wild one. A wild one. You know, sometimes it happens at like 11 a.m. when I'm rolling in late and I'm like, okay, well, I get it.
Sure, 11 a.m. Yeah, that's, yeah. I do. But luckily,
I was there for like 20 minutes. Anyway, I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yes, happy to be here. Happy to be seen. Happy to see. Happy post birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I was on vacay last week.
Yes, but luckily we have a bunch of stories that actually solidify how disorganized Portland is.
Yes.
I said it.
There you go. Before we go too far, this is The Gap Friday Talk Radio. I'm frazzled, okay? I've been suppressed by two trains. They didn't want me here. It's a talk radio show. Today we've got our first half is going to be a news roundup. Second half, tune in for the community question. You can call in and become a caller and chat with us about what we're going to talk about. But we got a zillion things to burn through.
Mm-hmm.
Should I address my controversies up top?
Okay, sure. We got to keep it snappy, though.
I'll go fast. One, I think that I have been defending Seattle drivers, and I just wanted to come out and come clean and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Seattle drivers, terrible. The other thing I wanted to say is in January of this year, everybody was like, oh, 2024 election stinks. Can you believe the rematch? And I was like, guys, what if something else happens? Putting no like saying on what that has to be. I didn't know it was going to be this.
I think actually what you said specifically is, imagine what it could be like to be burdened by what has been. Isn't that what you said actually? I think that was.
It was something like that. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for letting me get that off my chest.
No, you deserve it. We all deserve it. I'm sure everyone right now, like everyone wishes they had a microphone to say, to get things off their chest.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess use it, you're a conduit for the many people who, you know, just didn't just fall off out of a coconut tree.
We didn't.
That context. And you see how everyone, I'm sorry, this show has been uplifting falling out of a coconut tree context that you live in for months. Months upon months.
Honestly, in a certain context, years we've been doing this.
In some context, it's to be unburdened by what has been. But also, I'll say my little controversy, one sentence. If things are looking weird and you're like, I don't know what's going on, none of this feels natural, organic, and non-manufactured, I feel the same way. So putting that out there, you're not alone. I'm here with ya, and I gotcha.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting people.
Okay, go on.
You ever heard of Renee Gonzalez? Friend of the show.
City Commissioner Renee Gonzalez.
Commissioner Renee Gonzalez has been hand-picked to serve the Oversight Committee for the Joint Offices of Homeless Services, which is fascinating.
Mostly because? Because
he's not a big fan of their work.
he hates the Joint Office, I thought.
He's not a big fan of their work, which... Listen, his whole big thing is, what about if this doesn't work? How can we base? I don't know. He didn't say close down, but teeth. That was what he. Yeah, do we put teeth in this? And I get it. After the auditors audit, audits more than one.
The auditors continue to audit.
I understand the need to want to have some accountability. It's like, okay, guys, how do we like put our feet in it and go to the next level?
Yeah,
you like that's a little. Rock climbing.
Oh, analogy. Rock climbing. Okay.
You put your foot in the divot, and how do you lift, hoist yourself up by your
fingertips.
What do you call that thing?
The rope?
Yeah, the rope. Yeah, and yeah. Let's get to the next step. So I definitely think someone like that should exist. Is it Renee Gonzalez who's been not their biggest fan? I don't know. Only time will tell.
It's kind of like if you put me on like the board of a golf course, you know? I'm not big on golf. You know, like I kind of think that maybe
fundamentally
golf,
or
fundamentally, okay. I think that maybe we could be using that space for other stuff, you know? Not to come too hard at the golf community, but you know, somebody who kind of just disagrees with the existence of it, probably like it's just odd to put them in a leadership position, I suppose.
That's how you don't get yourself not pigeonholed, the echo chamber, you know?
I think that's true. I guess I agree with it in principle. I guess in practice, in the way right. that we know how Rene Gonzalez conducts himself, I think that that may not be the outcome, I guess.
Only time can tell. And so maybe true. he'll learn a thing or two. Like, remember I went to the thing at the Alberta, not the Star, the Alberta Theater?
Rose Theater,
The
yeah.
Rose Theater, and that guy was like, whoa, I didn't know all this about Indigenous land sovereignty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, wow, maybe I shouldn't be the CEO of Greater Idaho, and maybe I should help out, like, Indigenous sovereignty, land sovereignty, because he was so, like, blown away by...
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think it's never too trees. Late to come at things with a curious mind.
Yeah, which I don't know. I think maybe this could be the best thing that could happen to this town. Who knows? And I'll tell you, once Mayor Wheeler became mayor of everything.
Yeah.
He's switching things around. He's not he's staying busy.
Yeah.
So well, what are your no predictions for this? We'll keep a close eye though.
Yeah, and look, I think you mentioned when we were prepping yesterday that if Renee is helpful in making sure that these like hundreds of $1,000s contracts don't get holed up by like a $25 discrepancy,
mm-hmm.
that's a win.
That's for a all win. Of us. Mm-hmm. For all of us, you know?
Yeah.
And
getting these services out there, getting them coordinated jointly through an office.
We will see. We will see. I think he seems to be happy about being in this committee.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know if other people are stoked about it, but
they're like, hey, Renee, do you see this over here? It's called a grandstand. Do you want to get up on it? You and me, I've handpicked you to get up on this. To get up on a high horse and start talking to people.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
And we have this, we can skip article two and go straight to three for time's sake.
Yeah, yeah. Federal investigation is targeting Pamplin. And it all has to do with good old Ross Island.
I thought you were going to say Ross for a second. I say, pay for less.
The dress for less, you guys. The feds are getting them.
You don't pay for less. You dress for less. You don't pay for less. You pay for more.
You pay less for more.
Boom.
That's why that's not their slogan. We've now confused it. Anyway, Department of Labor is looking into the Pamplin, I don't know, corporation or whatever.
Yeah, because for the island, the gravel, the media, whew, it's a conglomerate.
Because a while ago, so Robert Pamplin Jr. owns Ross Island Sand and Gravel, which has sort of destroyed Ross Island, dug a really deep hole that gets bacteria in it and poisons the rest of the river for like 2 months of summer.
Mm.
So they mostly privately owned Ross Island. Weird that you could privately own an island in city limits. Just saying. Ross Island Sand and Gravel sells Ross Island to the Pamplin Pension Fund. So that for, get this, $10.8 million. That's a lot of money, people are saying. Especially because not that long prior to this, Pamplin was in court arguing that Ross Island was worthless because they owed $6 million for habitat restoration and then $3 million on top of that in fines because they weren't working on it at all. For all the habitat that they destroyed. So the feds are looking into it because you can't move money around like that. Like pension funds are required to make investments that are not, you know, stupid or bad or would mean that, you know, people who worked there don't get the pension that they're owed, you know?
There's like a level of risk that pensions can have and
yeah.
Well, this doesn't seem like risky. It just seems bad.
I mean, it
like,
looks bad.
It
yeah.
just doesn't.
Allegedly. Allegedly, it looks bad.
It's like if you just have, because it's like kind of hard because it's all under Pamplin. So just kind of shuffling, doing a lot of, I don't know if you could do a lot of shuffling
just
around.
Rubbing your hands together, folks. Yeah, it sort of seems like you know, hypothetically, allegedly, what if Ross Island sand and gravel needed, you know, $10 million? Yeah. This pension fund could certainly spend that.
Which belongs to people.
Right.
Like, to the conglomerate people. So is it the media, the pump?
I mean, Pamplin owns a lot of stuff. So I think it's like all of those subsidiaries and the, but yeah, the newspaper media group like broke up recently, got sold off to an out-of-state owner. Also interesting tidbit, the Portland Tribune was started by Pamplin because he was getting unfavorable press in the Oregonian for putting contaminated soil into that big hole on Ross Island and contaminating it. And he's like, you know what? I'll start my own paper. This will never get past me again.
This is very unfortunate. Are they, when do we know like when we should
the public
records, personally offended for some reason.
The public records were looking at like communications from in May, but I don't know. It's the Department of Labor. I think they move pretty slow.
But you see, this is what I mean again, like the fact that this negligence can happen, supposedly like allegedly happen, and then the people have the river you know, you can't get in it for a couple of weeks in the summer.
Or your
summer.
Dog will die.
Or yeah, which what God, you know, rest in power. You know, we heard, we saw what happened at the Sellwood.
Yeah,
the cell with the algae and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just I hope someone is keeping score of how much the common person has to pay for all of these people to play around with their millions of billions and billions and millions of dollars that they're just shuffling around from one place to another. So not only are they, you know, making the water toxic for people and animals to go in, they're also messing with their future, with their pension funds.
Yeah. And so, like,
irresponsible.
Who's ultimately going to have to pay the price? You're so right about that.
It's a person. But this is an ongoing, just like with the trade, this is an ongoing, it's an ongoing theme that we have in these stories of just people just plain, I'm trying so hard not to curse. They are just playing around, and we are dealing with the brunt of it.
I agree what you mean that it's not, it doesn't feel forceful enough. Like, they're messing around out here. You know, you want to say something else.
Irresponsible, negligent.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Unscrupulous.
There it is.
Also, one small note. Whenever they talk about Pamplin, who owns all this stuff, they're like, oh, he's a this person, and he's a philanthropist. It's like, at what point do we keep in the crumbling of your empire? It sort of seems like there's some really shady business decisions. Does that ever outweigh the sort of philanthropist title? That's just a question that I have in the abstract.
It's like they were calling like Jeffrey Epstein a philanthropist for a while.
Right.
And it's
right.
Like, dude, guys, let it go.
Or like, yeah,
let
it
go. Just embrace being the bad guy.
You know,
JP
Morgan Chase, the titan of industry and philanthropist. It's like, right. Funny how he gets to be remembered that way. Anyway.
And it continues on, story number 4.
There's a theme going on.
Yeah.
Here.
And we didn't even mean to. I'm chalking all this to summertime, and no one wants to do what they need, what
this
they're
is,
getting paid
this
to
is
do.
The wacky one, I guess.
This is it.
Do you want to introduce it?
Oh no, this is all you. Okay. Just my blood pressure is boiling.
Okay. I'll just read you the title of the OPB article. Woman exits Oregon prison 21 months late. After state corrections agency, quote, really screwed up.
I can't even look at you, Theo, when you say these words.
Wow. A woman, Bridget McDermott, was not the only person, actually, to be held in Oregon prison longer than they should have and then released really fast without a plan, which in itself is, like, pretty detrimental as well. And it has with the calculations that the Department of Corrections does with sentence reduction and good behavior and concurrent sentences and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of words about it. I don't understand how that could happen. But basically, they audited, always with the audit.
God bless the auditor. Mm. Can we just get them given?
Holding people accountable. Thank you. The sentence was calculated wrong. Somebody comes up to her and they say, you have to leave right now. Sorry. Our bad. Our fault. Ah. Sorry.
They get the story. Wow. She said, imagine that you are being released from jail. And this is April 3rd, the corrections counselor approached her in a communal area, the housing unit, not a private meeting room, told her the agency had, quote, really screwed up and that she's been wrongly imprisoned since July 2022. He said asking her to gather her things and leave that evening. They were literally kicking me out in the middle of the night with nothing, no funds, no documents, no ride. And it continues to say, she pleaded to stay another night. I started crying. She said, I was like, I'm begging you, let me stay the night until I can get someone called. Imagine you're about to be released from jail. You're like stoked. You're like, yes, I served my time. I'm going. I'm going to get my stuff together. I'm going to, you know, eat a cheeseburger. I don't know. And then, but you're like literally asking, begging them, crying, don't let me. What are you going to do? Throw out in the streets?
Yes.
That what, yeah, that's, yeah.
That was
that's,
their plan. There's
and begging to stay just because they have nowhere to go. And you don't have time to think, oh, man. And there's a, and it continues. So I was just sitting there like an idiot with a bunch of boxes. Nobody searched my boxes. I could have I could have had a small person in there. They could have spent time with me. Son.
Usually, and the article goes on to explain that usually like the 6 months prior to release is like a bunch of prep stuff that is being done.
It's a housing.
Connecting with agencies, making sure people have POs, food to, to get out and be ready to kind of like have a stabilization period and a stable place to go after prison, because we know all of the, like it's an extremely traumatic thing to come back into the world from, you know, I mean, trauma inside, trauma outside. And just wild. 21 months, man. 21 months. They're talking about how they're going to maybe address it legally.
Yeah. There's...
If somebody's getting sued.
Is it? Yeah, we could...
TME has most prescient...
We should have kept that from 2020 or something, from 2022 or whatever it was. And the... It's like... It's this is so dangerous because I get it. And I was telling you yesterday, potholes, okay, I get it. Trees malfunctioning, okay, you know, that happens. You know, I understand. I don't, but okay.
Yeah.
What all these things, okay, I can say. But between the 2 weeks ago when we did the legacy story with what they're doing with their having to reach out to over 2,000 people, possibly exposing them to
HIV
and hepatitis, and now this, like, what else do you want from me? What else? Like, you, so the corrections institutions aren't doing what they need to. The hospitals are getting people sick. The corrections are keeping people longer than they need to. What's up, dude? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Ted Wheeler, if it's Tina Kotick, if it's us, all of us one-to-one need to talk together with each other and do like a the people versus Portland City Council type something. But like, we got to ask for a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more. Really screwed up. Okay.
Ooh, my bad.
There is a dollar sign to how much you screwed up.
Yeah.
What's that dollar sign looking like, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you can take anything. It doesn't bring anything back. It doesn't even make you whole again. It just, at least you can pay for the therapy, you know? At least you can pay for something, you know? I don't know. It just, and it continues on. I wish this was the last story that we had about this. I wish.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we were highlighting is like, what do we do about this? You know, maybe it's summertime, it's loosey-goosey.
Mm-hmm.
We need to focus in on the basic competencies of, I mean, specific, we're talking a lot about government here, but also like, what are the basic things that need to happen, and are they happening, yes or no? I'd also be very interested to know how much goofy mix-em-ups, which is a really awful way of saying what happened here, how much does this cost state and local governments every year?
How much costing me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, there's a tally this year alone on, like, how much Portland has had to spend on settlements for people who were abused by police, right? How much, but, like, that's not the only thing that cities have to pay out about. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
And the, remember the ADA lawsuit?
ADA lawsuit,
is that also city, is that, are we paying for that?
I don't think that they wanted money on that one. They just wanted to force a change in city policy, they did. But they might have gotten some kind of payout.
Because I think that
ADA, the one from last week.
Yeah. That's...
The one where some out-of-state law firm was targeting Asian-owned businesses, or the one about the camping
one. The one with DiLorenzo.
DiLorenzo suing the city of Portland to say that it was an ADA violation to have the tents on the street.
Yes, yeah. As though they're, you know.
As if there is a choice.
Yeah, well, look at us. We're really just, good jobs. Good for you. You're a pillar of the community, just financing all of this single-handedly, all of us. We're doing this. You're welcome.
You're welcome to pay for your mistakes.
And it continues on, but yeah, wait, there's more.
Give us this one, please.
This one, this one really boiled my blood, and I'll keep it so short. The OLCC, this is the title, Feds warn Oregon officials that a report on alcohol tax was fundamentally flawed. This thing should have never seen the light of day.
It's a quote.
The new director for the Oregon Health Authority, is it the OLCC? Hold on a second. The OLCC task force had a report that came out last year, that was about what would happen, about the correlation between more taxing people for alcoholic beverages and whether the concerns for, you know, drinking too much can go down, and if people won't be consuming as much alcohol as they did if they have to pay more taxes for it. The report that they have, which said that it won't, there isn't any correlation between people won't be drinking less because they have to pay more. They found out that Eco, hold on a second.
Eco Northwest.
Eco.
Did the research.
And they are backed. They are using research that is funded by the alcohol industry. And so when they come, look at you. You look shocked. You're shocked because you should be. And so when the new director came on, she was saying, yeah, why aren't we sharing this with people? We should share this with people. Even though it came back with a bunch of comments and it looked like someone's.
The CDC looked at it and was like.
It looked like someone's bad, like, math test.
Can
and
I
had
read
a bunch
quote?
Of yeah go for it
This is from the CDC researcher who wrote, you know, the report leaned heavily on research, quote, of questionable scientific quality that had been funded by the alcohol industry, like you said.
It's so they had the report, they got it, they gave it to the CDC, they got it back, it had a bunch of like strikeouts and you know, all of these issues that they had with it. So then they said, you know what, let's just share this anyways as it is. Let the people see, with flaws and all, let us be us. this is just quite embarrassing. Yeah. Quite embarrassing. So we'll see if there'll be, I think it was like a, where is it? Hold on. I think it was like a, we're not talking about something too significant. I think it's like 20% or 20 cents. Oh, here it is.
20 cents per drink.
Yes, yeah. They submitted it through the state in 2021, not last year. It concluded that the hike tax might, quote, have little effect on risky behavior such as binge drinking amongst youth, and a 20% per drink increase researchers found would reduce consumptions by high frequency drinkers of about 2%.
So,
which other scientific researchers very much disagree, and they say that the functional methods have been misinterpreted and interpretation of the literature has been misinterpreted.
I do like when scientists fight with each other.
Oh yeah, continues
on. The
way
that they like.
It's a fascinating thing. As governments worldwide push to limit alcohol consumptions, makers of beer, wine, and spirits have taken a page out of. From Big Tobacco's playbook and funded studies for their own. By one recent estimate, research funded by the industry has increased more than 50% since 2009. Mm. Just fascinating. Yes, so I think that we're going to be getting an updated report because, again, the new... I want to get her name right. Hathi? Mm. Dr. Hathi,
mm-hmm.
she would like to rectify the situation because she just came on, so she was hoping that this would be
something to be like, hey, look,
this is literally. She said she was hoping that this would help with like transparency, which is, you know, I don't know. I get it. She didn't realize that she was coming into a new job and she wanted to just like, you know.
Folks, I'm being transparent.
Yes. And I get that. But woof. Anyways. Yeah. Oh, right. And so in between the possibilities of how do we get people to drink less? Are we going to
tax it more?
And then there is another option. Darn, what was it? And which pretty much just leaves us, like the person, like the regular Joe, like holding the bag for them.
Yeah.
So it was either more taxes or just making alcohol more expensive or something. Which is just, you know, again, the little bit that we have. Anyways, we have to wrap up so that we can get to the community question. We're going to do a really, really quick musical break.
Yeah.
And be right back. This is A Gap. I'm Tammy.
I'm Althea. Back in a sec. We're back. This is The Gap on KBOO Community Radio. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. It's community question o'clock, people. So
that
get those phones ready. So this community question is based off of a book I read while I was on vacation. You're welcome for doing reading. It's called Encounterism, The Neglected Joys of Being in Person by Andy Field. And there's a passage that I would like to read for you if I can, because it's going to lead into what our community question is going to be, talking about encounters, talking about being out in the real world. We got to get real. We got to get back out there in the real world. Should I read the quote?
Go for it.
Okay. From the book, quote. This is from an essay about getting a haircut. I'm sitting in my metal chair and Susanna stands behind me, neither of us looking at each other directly. Instead, we're looking at our own reflections in the giant salon mirror in front of us. In Encounters, the sociologist Irving Goffman writes that an encounter is a, quote, focused interaction during which, quote, people effectively agree to sustain for a time a single focus of cognitive and visual attention. According to Goffman, the effect of this shared and singular focus is to create a kind of temporary barrier between the people inside the encounter and everything happening outside of it. Stitched together in space and time, we create our own private reality, filtering out the parts of the world that are irrelevant to us and the encounter we're having. We become, for a while at least, a world unto ourselves. Few encounters make this feel truer to me than a haircut. For the next hour or so, the entire world is contained in the mirror in front of me. I'll pause there and plug the question, folks. Connection. What is an encounter like this or you know, whatever, that you've had recently? What sort of encounters out in the world with strangers, with the people in your neighborhood? What kind of encounters do you like to have? Is there a memorable one that you've had in the past? Let us know. 503-231-8187 is the number. You can message us on the website. kboo.fm. Click on the chat with us button. I'm pulling that up right now. You can email us. The email address is thegapradio@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram, thegapradio@thegapradio.
Boom.
There's
social security number is, I kid. These type of encounters, I was asking Althea when she read this, I'm like, does it mean a connection? Like, what would have to mean that? And it can really be such a simple, small thing or, you know, something bigger. But then it made me think of another question of, in our day and age, when you've got every 15 minutes, something is on the news, you know, every day.
Alerts on your phone.
Alert on your phone, alert on your mind, alerts on your heart.
Ooh.
How do you get to a point where you can actually get out of that and into a space where you can be open to encounter, when you can be open to connect? So another question, you know, how do you open yourself up to have this type of connection or encounter? And it really, you know, you're talking about like the barista at a coffee shop or something, and you ask for, you make your order, and you know, there's always so many people and clinking and clankings in the background, and we always put on this, it's not like a facade or we pretending, but we like get a little close and we like pretend like we can't see everyone else in our peripheral vision, and we just focus on each other for a moment, and it's a brief moment, sure there's a money exchange, sure it's their job, and sure you're there for something, but that connection is there, and you can that moment is there, and you might not know how to disconnect, but doing something as simple as that is disconnecting, and you're focusing on another human in person.
Disconnect to reconnect. Mm. Disconnect to encounter.
Mm.
Mm.
503-231-8187.
I'm trying to think of some memorable ones. Before like reading this book of essays, there's certain things that I realized I was doing because I like going out and kind of like encountering the world, you know. For example, like I don't really shop online very much.
Sure.
Unless I like really have to, like, I'll just go and ask, you know, and being able to have a conversation with somebody who knows. Sometimes, you know, suddenly I spent 15 minutes talking to the guys at Lowe's about, you know, the history of this building and what's the deal with these light bulbs and, you know, why did they discontinue them? Because everybody was, you know, getting mercury poisoning and cutting their hands. Seems like
it is
a good
nice
reason.
When you get like a person, like a specialty, you know, like someone who's who's so well versed on one specific thing, that like light bulbs or like that light bulb shop, or you're mentioning the other place that you went to, was it the light bulb shop?
I think it was. Yeah. I talked about it when it happened. Yeah. I was so struck by it. I was like, wow, I learned so much, and it's before work.
503-231-8187. We'd love to hear about your encounters. How do you get out of your own head? Get out of your own way.
Yeah.
In order to make way.
These are the people in your neighborhood. What are the neglected joys of being in person? As the title of the book
is. God, so many neglected joys of being in person. I miss like the doing this, like
elbowing people,
like when
jabbing an elbow into somebody's gut. I miss
when
that
you're like
too.
With a group of people, and then like someone says something, and you're like giving them these little jabs, and then you're like, oh, we're definitely talking about this.
We're talking about that later.
Or
do you
just like body movements and body languages? You know, bumping into people. I miss that, and because it can bring up like a not like on purpose. You know, like just like, oh, excuse me, when you try to. My favorite, when you try to, and you're like in a hallway, and then you do the thing where
the
you move
dance.
To the left, and they move to the right, and then we all, and then you say, look at us, we're dancing, and then you get to talking. I miss that so much.
You and Esther, your dog, go on a lot of walks.
Oh, yeah.
Do you encounter people that way?
Esther,
she's so cute.
She is a magnet for all people.
Yeah.
She made some couple new friends. Huey, shout out Huey. But she loves him. I don't know why it is. But yeah, she's definitely been like a conversation starter for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get to, you know, it's like it starts with like you just smile at them and then they smile back and then you say hello and then they say hello back and then you start talking about the weather. The weather is the best way.
It's so key.
The best way. And then it goes from, oh, it's going to be nice, but barbecuing. You say, oh, that's nice. What are you doing? Then you get to talk.
Oh, I got some family in from out of town.
All of a sudden, you're getting invited.
Where
that's
from,
how it is.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's it snowballs from there. And I have like a little reframe because I think some people are bagging on small talk. Mm. And I don't think they're like, everybody just says stupid little things.
Yeah.
They don't talk about what really matters.
No.
It's like, well, it's like really jarring. Like people don't want to, like, I don't know you, you know, like I'll talk about big important things with people that I'm close to, but we're not close to each other yet. And so there are these like patterns of interaction and conversation that are understood as, you know, as friendly, as welcoming, as something that you can engage with somebody with. And you know, that's not like a psyop, I guess, because some people act that way.
I'm sorry, politics and religion are not a subject of conversation for a person you're just meeting them.
Yeah.
Like that's not like that's just, and I know, listen, you were here 2020, I was too. And I would not have said that then, but now that I'm past that, I've said some things that I'm like, oh no, I don't actually mean that. No, do not. If I'm meeting you and you start talking to me about politics, get out of my face immediately. I'm not one of your little Twitter friends. I'm not one of your I'm not one of your Reddit friends. You're acting like an online moderator. Don't bring that into real world. Keep that on the internet.
Yeah.
We got enough problems here.
We just met. I just theatrically dropped a bunch of books in front of you. Just help me pick them up.
503-231-8187.
Joys of being in person. We want to hear from you, please.
Compliments also.
Compliments are a good gateway.
Yeah. Or just getting compliments that's, you know, is something from strangers, you know. I've been giving a lot more compliments lately.
That's great. I've been sort of expanding my, like, word choice for compliments. Mm. You know, like, I saw someone with, like, two tiny little chihuahuas on a paddleboard, and they both had little life vests on. And I said, oh, your dogs are being so brave. The woman was like, yeah, they are being brave. And then we had a little conversation about how the dogs are handling sort of being sure. on a boat, which is fun. Oh, you know, expanding the words like, oh, so your dog is cute. Your dog is brave. Mm. Your dog is courageous.
Yeah, there's unusual compliments. That's always got like, yeah. you look like you would send a very well thought out email.
Yeah.
I'm making myself smile. Thank you.
Just imagining, what would that be like? I would love to be complimented one of these days.
Or like, you look like you take care of your electronics.
Oh, I
wow,
don't.
Thank you. I don't just make you feel
I'm
a little
bit. Give off that aura.
Yeah. We got a caller on the line.
Hazel, can you hear us?
Hi.
You're on.
Hi, Althea and Tammy. I just want to say, I really love your show, and I do use my dog as a reason to get out of the house, mm-hmm. meet people, like, you know, people will say hi to my dog before me, and I have to say that the pandemic did a lot for all of us, and we just have to remember that, and it's going to take some time, mm-hmm. but I've been a cable listener for so long, and I used to listen to Ami and Melody at this time, and I'm glad that you are now a new generation taking on Friday mornings. I want to take my comments a little off into saying that when I was first new to Portland and kind of stuck in a house with no friends, it was like talk shows like Anu and Teresa that made me feel connected to people and kind of feel eventually I went and volunteered at Cable and met people in person, and that obviously is much better. But what you're doing now is one way to connect, and clearly the internet's a new way that we have to deal with too. But I just want to appreciate you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I love to hear that. That moving to Portland feeling is a little, you know, you're trying to pick up on what the vibe is.
Yeah, and KBOO invites people to like free events and really creates this feeling of community that and just your openness to different points of view, I appreciate a lot, because I think sometimes we get into these partisan tribes where anyone who strays from the right opinion gets excluded, so that's a problem in Portland too.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, thank you so much for calling, we appreciate it.
Thanks, bye.
I love that we're using our dogs as a way of having conversations.
Yeah,
I wonder if Hazel's dog and my dog can have a conversation.
Dog talk. That's a new podcast.
At 8 p.m.
We're actually we're giving up our spot. It's now dog talk. Two dogs just sniffing into the mic. 503-231-8187. We're talking about encounters in real life. What's an encounter you've had recently? What kind of encounters do you like to have? Is there a memorable one that you've had in the past? These joys of being in person that we're kind of forgetting about, or we're having to relearn how to do because of the pandemic. 503-231-8187.
The joys of being in person.
It's nice to be a person around other people.
Yes. I miss like getting dressed and put together like every day. I just do this now like once a week or something.
Yeah, because of pandemic or like remote work and stuff.
Yeah, remote. Yeah, it yeah. Just, you know, I as long as like from my, I guess, neck up, I'm presentable. It's totally fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I can totally be like, I can wear PJ bottoms for like a whole month without. Mm-hmm. Not the same ones, you know, but I could wear, or this, it really doesn't matter.
No
honestly.
One can hold you accountable as to whether or not those are the same PJ bottoms.
It's when my dog starts looking at me funny. I'm like, oh, God, all right.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, you know, from these little encounters, like I made a friend from like one of the places where I shop at, you know.
Oh, so cool. It's like
I go there often and you just get to talk in and you wear a banter and you just get to talk in or I don't know, something or in the neighborhood, and then the people who work there see me and then they see the dog, and then the next step is we're going to be friends, you know.
Yeah.
It's a natural evolution.
I feel like what are your ways into having an encounter? One, shopping local. Two, having a dog. Three, wearing a t-shirt that is a reference to something.
Yes, that's
people gravitate.
They're yes.
Like, "Oh, I like your shirt. I know where that's from."
And not I'll give you, you know what? I'll give you a political t-shirt. You can. That's appropriate.
Political t-shirt, yes, will do that for you. Yeah. No. I saw my friend Nate have like a whole encounter based off his Weird Al t-shirt.
Oh.
With this guy. And then later he was like, I didn't even tell him how I've met Weird Al. I didn't even let him know how deep in I am, but it was good to talk to him about it.
the joys of being in person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, the joys of being in person, some very specific to Zoom. But you know when you like talk and then another person talks and it kind of cuts both of you off in the audio sound? I just miss talking over people. Because that's a proper way to talk. You talk over people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. In this book that I read, Encounterism, there's a bunch of discussion about that and how like video calling is like so, it's very awkward, you know? And part of that is because in person, there's different ways to like, I don't know, disconnect from like intensely looking at a person who's talking or being intensely looked at while you're talking. But also with like, you know, if you're talking to somebody over coffee, you can like stir your coffee for a second or like, you know, fiddle with your nail or something. Oh, Tammy hit her knee. Oh no, it's coming off the rails. But that it is this like sort of intense and artificial form of communication. Yes. And it's very convenient.
It's performative.
It's performative. Yeah. And there's like, of course, every interaction has a level of performance to it, but there's like the extra artifice, I think, makes it like,
because you're performing harder in front of a camera.
Yeah, and it's harder to get your point across when it's like, also, you're being looked at from like a weird angle that would never happen in person. Like, either somebody has the camera like high up and they're looking up into it, or it's like, you're under their chin because they're laying down on the couch, which is fine, that's comfortable, but I would never talk to you from this angle.
It's way too intimate.
It's too intimate, but also, and so like I can't really read your body language, and maybe they're coming off as intense, or they're coming off as like disinterested in what I'm saying, just because I'm getting it from like a bizarre angle, and I can't see what the rest of your body is doing.
Not be the body language and being able to face movements and stuff. Yeah, that's. I think that's like part of the. Isn't that with babies? Like, they start recognizing facial... Like, it's like something in our brain. I'm not a head doctor, but I'm going to tell you this much. Not being able to...
I'm not a head doctor, but I am the head doctor. It's silly. I don't know what that means.
God, that was too good. It got me. Oh, I think it's... I think that cues like that are important for being able to have... For communications, you know? And when you don't have that, and then, oh, the worst is the fake background. No, let me see the mess you're living in. I want to see all of that. What are you blurring that out for? Like, what are you blurring?
I'm seeing some big shapes, you know? And some ones that I'm curious about. Turn that off.
What is this redacted stuff? Get that out of here. Let me see you everywhere, all over. But it's hard times. It's hard times. It's, as the movie said, everything all the time, always nonstop, everywhere.
I love that movie.
And, but... There are some joys of being in person happening this weekend.
Yes.
You have here on our list.
Yes, that is a great segue. Do you want to read them or you want me to read them?
Oh, you can go for it.
Okay. On this evening, there is a screening of Ferdinand at Mount Scott Park at 6 o'clock. There is also, at 6:30 in Jameson Square, King Louie and Andy Stokes, Dynamic Sounds of Soul, Blues, and Jazz. So a little outdoor concert situation. On Saturday at 6:30, a Blondie tribute band called Glass of Hearts is playing at Kenton Park. That's on Saturday. And then also at noon on Saturday at the Columbia Park Annex, it's Jim Pepperfest. Speak, Sing, Native, celebrate the legacy of Ka Muskogee musician Jim Pepper, featuring Native artists and fry bread.
And all are open to the public.
Open to the public, indeed. So, you know, if you're thinking about, if you're enjoying the encounterism conversation, you know, this is an option to encounter some people.
It is, yes. And to get out of your head, you know, put your phone on Do Not Disturb. That way, when people text you, you can't, you know, you won't get bothered, but you can pretend like you're on your phone, so you don't have to turn it off. Mm-hmm. You know, smile.
Yeah.
Be open. And before you get in there, if you get a little bit anxiety, just think to yourself, I'm awesome, I'm great, I'm friendly, I'm going to have a good time. I'm awesome, I'm great, I'm friendly, I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I'm awesome, I'm great, I'm friendly, I'm going to have a good time. And get in there, no expectations, just you're going to have a good time. That's it.
That's
it. And then you'll see, it'll, you know, there are lots of joys of being, you know, of existing. And, you know, and we are very lucky to have made it as far as we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it only gets better if we are accompanied with people and friends and a community. And if it's free, why not?
Exactly. I also, to quell some of those nerves of like showing up to something, because I definitely, I've been noticing in myself recently how I've gotten out of those things, mm-hmm. and I'm quite proud. You know, bring a book. If you're me, mm-hmm. bring a crossword, you know, something that's not your phone to look at in an idle moment. If you start to feel awkward, it, you know, you're still in the space. You're still listening. You're still present. But, you know,
a puzzle or like a macrame or, you know, something
to do with
crochet,
your hands.
Something.
That's great.
A game.
Oh,
bring a game, and then maybe someone else will want to play with you.
Does anyone want to play checkers?
A ball.
Yeah, a ball would be great. You know, the game of ball. That would be fun. You didn't think of that, did you?
We have so many more stories that we will cover next week.
Yes,
when
many
we
things
get back.
To say.
And a lot more. Oof, I can't even talk about this new.
Allow the confusion of politics to ebb away from your mind as you get in person and start talking to people. Bump into somebody on the street. Theatrically drop a bunch of marbles or something. You
ask
know?
Them about the art tax. No, I'm kidding. No.
In-person public opinion polling, do the exact opposite of what we said to do. Little small talk, you know?
Yeah, it's it
won't, how do you beat the heat?
That's how do you beat the heat? Where do you what do you think of the new districting?
Okay, yeah, politics. You say you don't want to talk about politics, and every death penalty. Thoughts? That's what you I'm
we'll
that's,
get there.
Guys, I'm being facetious.
Okay? You can talk about dogs. Movies. There we
movies.
Go. I just watched
anybody see Twisters.
I just watched a Terminator for my first time.
What'd you think?
It bothered me that it started in the year 2025. Do you know that? We should watch that.
I haven't seen it.
Anyways, we gotta get going.
Yeah,
we
gotta
go. Seen it?
No.
It's on Tubi.
Oh.
Yeah, free. All right. I'll see you all next week. We gotta go.
Okay, yeah, we gotta go. This has been The Gap. I'm Althea.
I'm Tammy.
Till next time.
See ya. Have a good weekend. Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, community radio.
Hey, this is Melissa Lesniak, creator and host of That Vegan Show, right here on KBOO.FM. Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. to hear my interview with Rebecca of